Okay, this is the regular meeting of the Improvements Committee for December 5th. We're called to order. Our first item on the agenda is staff reports. Looks like these are all discussion items. I don't see any action items. Michael, 39-acre parcel easements?
Yeah, so back in, I think it was August of this year, the developer, the proposed developer for the 39-acre parcel just next door, provided answers to initial questions posed by the Improvements Committee. And since those have been submitted, they also submitted what the, as I would say, preliminary plans are for this mixed-use site plan, which you have in front of you. I believe they are here today, and if it pleases the committee, I was going to have them come up and give a small presentation based on their easement requests and maybe an opportunity for you to ask questions of them. So, Mike, did you want to, or Tony?
Hi, Mike Robertson, Baker Williams Engineering Group. Do you have a sketch of it at all? Or?
Yeah, Mealy, can you put that up?
Yeah.
The plan.
This one, yeah.
Yeah. The 39-acre parcel is a mixed-use parcel. It's a CMZ zone, which requires, with county input, of some form of possible housing available to it. So these are just an idea. It's a first draft sketch, kicking around possibilities of what could happen to this 39-acre parcel, which is a transition zone between, you know, commercial and residential. The CMZ zone requires at least an 8 units per acre. So we're looking at some kind of a potential housing, some smaller lots, you know, the terms called, you know, workforce housing of some sort, maybe some apartments. So we've got a couple layouts here, but then we don't want too much potential housing out there, so we've got to think of what else we can do with the property. So kicking around ideas of maybe ball fields, as you can see there. There's a wetlands in the pond that's there. It's existing. We don't want to take away any wetlands, so we're going to want to preserve that and make it walking trails or some kind of open space. And then just an idea of potential. It could be some urgent care if that's become a viable option for, you know, something else to do with the property. So it's an idea. It's a site plan. It's not a formal submission of a entitlement. It's just we're kicking around ideas right now just so we can assess impacts for, you know, utilities, traffic, and so forth. So part of the property is we've always requested an access to get to the Murrieta South signal. And so that access is shown on the plan there, basically currently following the existing road that's out there. But that we're looking at other ideas. Maybe the road could change to the, you know, northeastern side of the solar field, but we can look at different options. So just wanted to present it to the improvement committee to respond to the comments that was previously provided on the access, what could be done with the property. So this is an idea, and that's what we're looking at right now. So. And see if they have any questions.
Marty?
How far off are we from formal?
Oh, it'd be a ways off. You know, we're going to present this, talk to the county about it and other departments, agencies. We're looking at traffic studies right now. And you know, this is part of the, you know, this is a parcel that's part of the Rancho North project that's we're working on. So this is something that's just going to be looked at because we have, you know, trail systems and you know, we have other studies we have to look at. There's greenhouse gas studies, traffic studies. So it's a few ways off. We're just looking for input right now and comments to ideas.
How far off is it that you need a decision from CSD?
No, I'm looking for comments. You know, we've got to maybe schedule another time. Mm-hmm. Next next improvement committee, you know, would be, you know, in the meantime, there could be, you know, tweaks to this plan also.
You're most interested in our comments on the easement, not the development, right?
Yeah, on the access. Of course, we want to move that forward also to get to a point where we can, you know, get confidence that we're going to have access to the signal.
What happens if we don't grant the easement?
I'll have to just retool something. Obviously, the traffic getting into here, there's an existing driveway out there off of Highway 16 now. It'd be right in, right out driveway. And, you know, the goal to get to the signal is to allow, you know, people leaving here and heading back toward Sacramento to take advantage of the signal, because that signal out there, there's no U-turn capabilities at that signal.
So. Yeah, that was my question. Is there? You couldn't make a U-turn there?
Not now. It's not posted. So that doesn't mean there can't be some improvements to that to make it a U-turn. You'd have to do some reconfiguration of the intersection and work with Caltrans on that. There's a possibility, but you obviously need a U-turn there. A project like this, you got to have two points of access, which is for safety and fire or emergencies mm-hmm. and so forth.
And has Caltrans weighed in yet?
Not yet. No.
I might think of some more, Randy, after you chime in.
Who owns the parcel to the west?
I can't remember the name.
Hutchinson.
Yeah.
Hutchinson. And it's farm? Ranch?
An ag use, it looks like.
So there's no way to get from this development over to your other development to the west?
No. This is off the Pacers, you got the river.
And what are you, I know there's, eventually, you're going to have to come up with some kind of details on these intersections. But
yeah, our next iteration, you'll see some proposed striping and lane configurations, and there's obviously going to be some improvements to the access there. We always planned on reconfiguring that and replacing any parking that we have. So the next iteration you'll see will be some potential striping and signal improvements.
Signal improvements
at the intersection.
At the main or at the CSD?
At the CSD, at the Murrieta South Parkway signal right there.
Okay, and then this other entrance, access and egress strictly eastbound?
Yeah, eastbound would be right in, right out driveway. We got it's shown there. That could be a little more detail on that. But that has to be a right in, right out only. There's no way Caltrans is going to allow a full access at that intersection. So we're not even proposing it.
You said when you started something about this being zoned, and then there's a requirement for a minimum number of houses per acre?
The CMZ zone, according to the county, it requires it 8 units per acre.
Then minimum?
Minimum.
So it's
intended for transitional housing is what the zone's been designated for. So
you can't make these lots bigger even if you wanted to?
Probably could. I have to talk to, you know, work that out with the county. Okay, but to be honest with you, what we see there, we see many other developments around Sacramento County. This is a type of development on the housing end of it. Is you see this a lot? But again, potential something that has a, you know, smaller access, smaller units for again potential or workforce housing. Again, these are just an idea. They're looking at once we get feedback, you know, whether or not the housing gets reduced a little bit and maybe the apartments get increased a little bit. So. think the community needs something.
Michael?
I don't have any questions.
Marty, what are you thinking?
Are there other potential routes for crossing CSD land?
I could reconfigure something.
Have you thought of any other one?
At one time, we had another access, you know, on the northeasterly side of the solar field there. This is what we ended up with, but my next iteration could show another different kind of access to show how, instead of going on the south and west side of the solar field, go on the north side, just so you have an option.
Are there costs involved to CSD for this?
Costs for
anything?
No, I'm sure that, you know, the improvements of the road would be borne by the development, and even the improvements to reconfigure the interchange would be on the development.
You did mention something in your memo that the maintenance would be a joint effort.
Well, that it would be, you know, it would be also the road that would be on the CSD property would be also used by the CSD. It makes sense that it would be, you know, if you had access to the backside of the solar field, if it's a road that's also used by the CSD, there would be a joint maintenance involved. It just makes sense. If it's strictly for the development, then the development would maintain it. You're going to get to a point where on the intersection there, where, you know, obviously both projects would use, would need, you know, potential maintenance on the access as you approach the intersection.
What's the historical use of that egress or ingress?
The property?
Yeah.
Well, the property was vacant for a long time, but I don't know if you recall, the Murrieta Gardens was the operating engineer's training grounds.
Yeah.
And moved from there over to this site for years. So it was a training ground.
So how did that road get used? It was the major
For their equipment and their training ground facilities.
So no, they didn't use the access off of Highway 16 to get in and out?
No, they did.
They used both?
They did both.
For how long?
I don't know, Tony, what do you think?
40 years.
Yeah. It's been a long time.
Okay.
I did have a question. So that any improvements to the current intersection access to CSD, I would imagine a lion's share of those improvements, wouldn't they get deeded to Caltrans?
Possibly. I mean, that's, we go for that with Caltrans. Caltrans usually wants an easements on all around their intersection, obviously the highway, and usually they carry an easement into the private properties, so as for the access signal work, you know, controllers, and, you know, so more likely they may want easement for that. Similar over on the other Rancho North, Murrieta Parkway, Caltrans has easements on both sides of the intersection on the private property. So.
But they don't take over the infrastructure.
No, for maintenance they do. Actually, what they partner up with Sacramento County for maintenance also.
Got it.
So, and again, I haven't looked at if there's any easements at that intersection currently. I mean, I have to get a title report for the CSD property when that signal was created, whether or not easements were dedicated to the county and or Caltrans. There may be. Usually there is. So we'd look at all that.
Thanks.
So my goal would be on the, you know, have some more detail on the intersection so you can have another look at that and maybe another option for more access.
I mean,
I have to bring that back on the next committee.
As you know, one of CSD's prime concerns is our ability to get in and out.
Sure. Absolutely. So.
So I think the elephant in the room here is that if we granted this easement through our property, that there's some value to it. And so what does CSD get in return? You mentioned, you know, better access to our solar field, but I'm not thinking that's enough. I think maybe you should put some thought into why would CSD want to do this other than just being a good neighbor.
Sure, you can come up with something.
Access off of this road to the backs, you know, better access to the backside of the solar field. I think at the very least, when you propose a design for Murrieta South Parkway, that there be some kind of division between CSD's access and a dedicated access onto that easement, right? And I don't know what that means as far as that signal and turn lanes and whatnot.
Right.
So maybe that's doable.
We have already started the sketches on that intersection, so I wanted to get this in front of you first, and we can, you know, get further response to comments.
Okay. Yeah, and just to be perfectly honest with you, I'm not sure that's going to be enough. I don't know what the value of an easement like this is, but we need to, as a fiduciary duty, make sure that we're getting enough in return for the value of this.
Sure.
And I just like you to put some thought into that, where if there's something else here that CSD could get something out of.
Okay, so we'll respond to that.
Get out of the, maybe get outside the box and look at it and say,
sure,
yeah, this easement is worth quite a bit, and we're willing to do X and Y or whatever.
Okay. Fair comment.
May I make a comment?
Certainly.
Okay, thank you. So I guess when I look at this, I think about all of the people that would be kind of wedged into that community. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering what kinds of things, and you touched on this a little bit, you know, like what kinds of amenities you could include that would make it a good place to live.
Sure.
Because I think that there's often historically, you know, lower income housing that just gets kind of poorly put together, and then it becomes an unpleasant place to live. And I'm kind of thinking about the design of, you know, really big, and I'm not saying this is going to be like that, but, you know, really big, important gathering places in cities that then become iconic and pleasant places for people to be, like Central Park.
Sure.
Or, you know, Griffith Park in Los Angeles. And here you have a flat area, so you don't have, you know, great vistas and things. But I like that you have the sport fields, and I think there's a tennis court on there. I can't really tell.
Yeah, it's more of a soccer, but again,
soccer.
There's room to put amenities out there, and you know, any kind of a apartment site would have amenities. But I think it's for anybody, any type of residential development, you got to have a place for people, the good kids, to go, and so this is important to have that, and there could be added amenities for sure.
So I like the idea of having those amenities, and then maybe also some opportunity for like a community structure, mm-hmm. like the villages have and RMA, and so gathering places that are kind of enclosed, or maybe even just like a, you know, like a covered patio area, you sure. know, that could be sure. incorporated into it.
Great.
And then maybe public gardens or community mm-hmm. gardens. And then maybe just looking at some of the very successful projects like that for, you know, more intense developments to see what makes them successful, you know, in terms of a thriving
great,
community.
Great comments, and we have yeah. open space out there that those can easily accommodate that. So.
Okay.
Great idea.
Those are great comments, and you know, without having seen this before, I know you're going to have to do some kind of a traffic study, but it just off the top of my head, looking at this, looks like there's an awful lot of people for the access that you have, and the, but I mean that's like you said, this is preliminary, and I'm yeah. sure you'll go through
and we already
lots
have
of iterations before right. there's a.
And we have the traffic engineers looking at it right now. So.
And if I may, I have one more thought. I don't know if you've seen City Garden in St. Louis, which is an urban redevelopment that has as a focal point a sort of cement fountain play area for children, mm-hmm. and then gardens all around and walkways. And I'm from East Sacramento, and there is a park in East Sacramento that has a water feature that is for, you know, toddlers and things. And we are in a community that's very hot. And so it might be, I'm sure this is going to be for young families and workers to the community. And so it might be nice to incorporate some aesthetically pleasing little, you know, area like that. Just to give them a place, you know.
Sure,
to,
absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Those are great ideas. Yeah, I've designed some water features on some parks in East Sacramento. They're popular.
And yeah, the good spot might be taken out, you know, all some of these small lots over here and making it more amenable with some open space and park space. But okay, Marty,
good.
You thought of anything else?
Appreciate you giving us an update on it.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, so we'll look at some iterations and get it back to you in the next committee and present another option.
Very good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I do have public comment, if you're ready, sir.
Sure.
I'll take them in the order I received them. Mr. Merchant.
Yeah, hi, John Merchant, lot 723. I think you should just wait and not discuss this any further until there's a formal application at the county and that the amendment to the traffic study is completed. Right now, they have responsibility for the intersection, and they have to do it prior to occupancy. They have it based on the 39 acres as commercial development. It looks nothing like this. So after that amendment, what you're going to see is even more of a comment from SAC-DOT as to what has to be done. And I would wait until you get that and you see it till we make any other kinds of commitments. Secondly, they haven't got any formal application on this at the county, and I would wait to see what that really becomes before you go any further. They have responsibility in the existing traffic study for all three major intersections. They have to do all three prior to occupancy, and they have to pay for all three. That includes the Stonehouse realignment. It includes a massive change to the north and a massive change here. And like I said, this change is monumental and expensive, and it's only based on commercial development. It's not based on anything that looks like this. The other part of this is that they've finally given it up. John would never give it up to me. They're going to have to build another park to accommodate the 795 units that they want to put on the other side. Probably is not a good place over there to put it, other than to put it in a floodplain. That makes sense. Okay, I don't know if any other part of it makes sense, and we do need another park where our parks are saturated as it is, particularly Stonehouse. And when I put my comments in on the integrated water master plan, I wanted Michael to budget for another park so that nobody got an excuse at the end to say, well, we can't budget for another park because we don't have any water for it. So thank you very much. I appreciate it.
I do have another comment, Mr. Gears.
I agree with John. We're buying a pig in a poke here. I mean, you have no idea what they're going to put in there. This was discussed at the January 2020 Improvements Committee, and they pretty much poo-pooed the idea of a residential development in there because that's just a little ways from the sewer treatment plant and sewer treatment ponds. And Mark Martin would say, hey, we want to expand those ponds. And you get those houses in there, try to expand the ponds, you won't be able to do it. I mean, are they seriously want housing developments that close to the sewer treatment plant? I think maybe they haven't thought about this. And I think this is something they just threw together to answer your questions. You know, there's no commitments of what they're doing here. Just like John says, until they make the plans, don't do anything. John Merchant tried to get the Bureau of Equalization in there with 2,000 employees. They could still try to do that. There's no idea what they're really going to do there. And you know, like I say, you're buying a pig in a poke. And the big question is, what does CSD get out of it? I see nothing. Maybe they can rationalize something. Maybe you can rationalize something. But the bottom line is, there's really next to nothing in it for CSD. And like at that 2020 meeting, Mark Martin was saying, they bought this property, they knew the access problems, and they paid a sum of money based on that understanding. We don't owe them, you know, anything so they can make more money out of it. I mean, there's nothing in it for CSD. End of story.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
No more public comments.
Thank you, Amelia. You're right. They're not really, this isn't a commitment from them. It's just an idea that they've come up with that they're sharing with us, and we have made no commitments to them. This is just strictly information sharing, and that's the way I look at it. We're certainly not ready to make any commitments or do anything on CSD's behalf or make any recommendations to the board at this point. We're listening, we're talking to each other, and that's where I see this thing at this point. So, Martin, unless you have something more, let's move on to item 2B, Granley's Four Bay Project.
Yeah, so we're still in the process of design. We think that design should be done by mid-January, after which we'll have an updated construction cost opinion. The preliminary cost opinion from HDR was provided about a year and a half, 2 years ago, at a high end of $720,000 for the cost of the safety improvements. With the design fee and allowance for contingencies, the amount allocated in the CIP is currently $822,000. So at this point, we should be finishing design soon. We should be getting the board an updated cost opinion. And at that point, the board will make a decision whether to move forward with the construction of that project. I just wanted to bring up where we were at in the grand scheme of things.
So will, do you see us as being ready to move forward at the next committee meeting to recommend?
We probably won't have we might have a cost opinion by then. If we do, I'll put that in the packet and make that an agenda item if you'd like. If not, it'll probably be February. But that still gives us enough time if the board wanted to proceed with construction. We'll be able
to. Do we need low flows to do some of this work, or can it be done at any time?
Low flows would be more optimal. We will have to coordinate some shutdown with the CIA Association. There'll be times when we will have to shut down and isolate the forebay to do some of the interior work. But a lot of the work really needs to be done at a lower flow rate. Obviously, we can't do it if, you know, it's covered, inundated.
Okay. But all right. Very good.
The challenge will be getting a contractor.
Yeah. Marty?
Last time we talked about these SB 170 projects, we were going to try and get them all to 100% so we can see where we're at with funds. Is that still the goal?
Well, I mean, that's really up to the board. The problem is the wastewater plant design is taking longer than we had hoped. So that one will be lagging. We have the cost opinion for the water plant. There will be a small update because there were some electrical issues that we found upon review of the design. So that should change it a little bit. But we essentially have that. We'll have Grand Lease probably in mid-January, and then, you know, it might be mid to late spring before we have the wastewater plant design where we can do that cost opinion. So the board may consider the possibility of just moving forward with the Grand Lease projects because of the severity of the project.
Will you, this is for Mimi, will you have how much funds we have available for construction?
I was just looking at some of our information on that. We did receive the $1.3 million from the Budget Act of 2021. And that was for three projects, but it's about a $2.6 million total at that time, I think, for those three projects. So that's $1.3 million unfunded in that. And I was just, I don't think we have the data yet on how much has been spent on all those components. $822 is the total cost, but I don't know what percentage of that, you know, was anticipated to be spent from the $1.3. Theoretically, you could say, well, we're going to just use that money for this project or any of the projects. You could make a decision about that. One of the problems with the 23-24 budget, which we shared when we shared the budget, was that we didn't have a handle on what the reserves were and what the starting balances were for each of the funds because of the absence of finished audits. So I think any of the CIP expenditures requires some sort of leap of faith that there will be money there because of our situation right now of not having concluded audits for 2021, 2022, and the 22-23, which just wrapped up. But you could dedicate the bulk of the appropriation from the state to this project and then anticipate using other resources for the conversion to from chlorine, liquid chlorine to bleach. Or sorry, gas, chlorine gas, excuse me.
I'm just wondering if all the design fees for these three projects exceeded the 1.3?
No.
Didn't?
No.
Not close?
No. I think Grand Lease is going to probably come in around 80 to 90,000. Trying to remember off the top of my head the HDR and the not even close.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, I think those are going to be important numbers to decide if we can go to construction. I understand it's a safety project and it may take priority, but first we got to know if we got some money.
Yeah, and I would say you could argue that all three of them are safety projects,
yeah.
You know, and so then it's a question of, okay, well, what's the exposure level? And in the chlorine gas, if you had a big accident, it could spill out, just dispersing throughout the community. Mm-hmm. In the Grand Lease Dam, it's the you know, behavior patterns of people going into a place where they shouldn't go, and so you kind of have to weigh, you know, those two risks, I'd say.
So,
and the history of it too. We can't just ignore the fact that we had a problem and this theoretically solves it. Lumos and Associates.
Yeah, just a brief update on our capital improvements program contract with Lumos. We've been working with Lumos Associates to provide them the information on the district infrastructures so they can create that capital improvements program. And we're right now and still working on getting them information identified in the data gap meetings. Once they get that, then we will review their resulting infrastructure list provided by the consultant. They will then provide replacement values over a 20-year period and identify the annual infrastructure funding required over that timeline. So that's where we are in that contract currently. On the Integrated Water Master Plan, we had our town hall meeting, as you know, November 2nd at the Country Club. There were approximately 160 public attendees. The consultant team provided initial presentation, and the question and comment session was initiated. We will soon be publishing frequently asked questions gathered at that town hall meeting, and they're working on the next stage now to investigate alternatives to meet the projected water demands with the projected water supplies. The Van Vleck Tank Repair Investigation Task Order. In 2021, as part of a five-year reoccurring schedule, we had the tank divers come in and perform an inspection of the inside of the tank. The tank got pretty good reviews, although they did note some spalling at the seismic berm through roughly one quarter of the tank off and on. Large pieces of concrete have broken away. When I think they say large pieces of concrete, I think they're, you know, significant pieces. The top of the rubber water stop, they say, is also exposed. The recommendation is to get a structural engineer to review the condition of the berm and determine any necessary corrective action. That seismic berm is referring to the concrete step that runs along the floor and the wall seam, as you can see that's circled. They also stated, when I briefly talked to him on the phone recently, on occasion we will find a new small piece of concrete that is broken away. The rubber water stop can be seen sporadically through the problematic area. So we've discussed this with Dominic Kelly and Associates, and they provided us with a introductory task order to cover the investigation of the structural repair solutions to address this spalling. So I think in my mind, the next step would be to get that task order approved, move forward, and look at some of the alternatives for keeping our tank well maintained. The good news is, you know, the tank for the most part is in decent condition. And Travis, do you know how old that tank is?
I don't, but I think the drawings show it like in the 90s. I'm not 100% sure about that tank. I know the other one was newer, was redone, but I'm not 100% sure about that tank.
I think it was like late 80s.
So Marty will take care of your structural engineering.
Right.
If it doesn't take like a scuba certification, that's what I was thinking.
That'd be awesome. With video camera and everything. That'd be great.
Dominic Jelly, they had experience in designing these kind of tanks.
Yeah, they've done some tanks, and Daryl, one of the engineers there, does, you know, structural engineering. He's not a certified structural engineer.
If they know the typical problems with those kinds of tanks, then I think that's appropriate.
Yeah, and you know, when they come up with the preliminary tech memo, maybe you take a look at it just as a check. Because you're a structural,
you
right?
You can be their check. Their
check, I don't think so.
Check their calcs.
I don't think so. It's just that...
What's your billing rate?
No, it's just a matter of...
He's free.
Having experience with the problems that kind of tank has. And maybe simple, maybe not. I don't know. But that's, I think, is appropriate to get somebody out there.
I would assume that their experience lies more in the construction of the design and construction of the tanks. So...
Good. That's it. Okay. So is that going to get passed on to the board, or is that just something you're going to authorize yourself?
Yeah, it's more of an FYI. Okay. If the improvements committee concurred, then Mimi can move forward with her contract level of approval.
Okay.
So we're not talking about like an epoxy coating in that area. We're talking about chipping it out and redoing,
probably
pouring it or something.
Yeah, it's really all about, as you know, we want to make sure we're not rusting out a rebar and foundation.
Probably have to be dewatered during the process?
Yeah, I don't know. So I'm hoping not, but, you know, that you can do some underwater repairs, I would assume, but that's going to be a trick, huh, Travis?
Yeah, we don't have a way of bypassing that tank.
That we know about yet.
That we know about at this point. When Rio Oso was done in 2009, they had to do significant changes at the water plant and bring in a whole new panel with the VFD to be able to bypass that tank. I came on board just as we were getting towards the end of it. I mean, where there's a will, there's a way. I'm presuming, but that is a, that's not our pressure zone. That's our gravity zone. So, and that the level of that tank is what turns our plant on and off. So there would be a lot of, you're looking at, you know. Depending on what they come up with, we might have to staff the water plant at night to be able to turn that on and off based on how something would happen. So that's always something that has to come into play.
Which makes more sense to have our guy do this whole program and not just look at what the structural needs to be done, but how to do it.
Oh, you mean the shutdown? Yeah. You know, one of my thoughts was if we can keep pressure in the system with the water plant, if we can keep significant pressure in the system with the water plant pumps, the ones that normally supply the tank, you know, if there's a way to bypass the tank and go right to the system and keep up the pressure, that might be helpful.
Well, there's that, but then there's also, and I don't know, that line right there with the, because there's a hole in the middle of the column, that was one of the fixes for the bypass for the Rio Oso tank. But that line coming from the water plant to Van Fleck, that also provides volume and pressure to the upper unit of unit 6 on those houses. So if you take that tank out and have to bypass that tank, that could reduce that area up there significantly too.
The good news is we have a hydraulic model of the system that's being put together for the Integrated Water Master Plan, so we can test out some of those theories. We'll work with Domita Kelly and Associates. I was a process engineer in my former life, and so these types of bypasses, we can work with them on that.
Okay.
Okay. Moving forward, we're looking to move forward on our east and west dissolved air flotation bearing replacement. This was a previously approved CIP. We have purchased the bearings, and we now have availability of the labor from the contractor, time and materials to install the bearings, and also doing the touch-up paint around the installation. I think there's also some minor repair.
There's some minor holes in the feed pipe that they're going to, on the west staff that they're going to be repairing also.
So, Travis, when would this repair take place? Prior to the recycled water season,
yes.
Like soon?
Yeah, once we get the approval, then I, because the tank, the DAFs are dewatered and they're ready to go, then it's once we give them the approval, then they'll get a schedule to get them done. They have the bearings already done. We had those done earlier. We had to wait till the tertiary system was off to actually do the install.
So we have a already approved contract. We're
correct.
Ready to go. Do they bring in I imagine they bring in a crane to lift up that heavy equipment.
Yeah, they bring in all the equipment. Everything was approved, and in the contract, it was broke down between the main making of the parts, and then once we were dewatered to do the installation, and they broke the cost down in between the two. I'd asked them to do that, so that was all given to the board and approved at the time.
Sounds good.
All right. The one semi-action item is moving the surplus property resolution onto the board. We have a number of, looks like five vehicles that have high mileage, and from what I understand, the cost of repairs and maintenance has increased over time, and we would like to present that to the board for surplus property to remove them.
Yeah. And these vehicles were already replaced with newer vehicles. We just haven't gone through the surplus process yet.
So they're sitting somewhere, not being used.
Yeah, they're just sitting over on the side.
I recommend we pass this on.
Agreed.
Okay.
Thank you. I'll put it on the agenda.
Got it. I would like some clarification. Does the improvements committee want me to bring item A back to the next improvements meeting?
I think that if the developer wants to bring us another iteration or wants to talk to the improvements committee, then I would put it on the agenda for them. If you don't hear from them, then I think the ball's in their court.
Got it.
That way. And again, it's just discussions. There aren't going to be any action items. Just discussion items.
Right.
Very good. Thank you. Amelia, any...
No more public comments?
Public comments, no.
You missed my comment for the bar comment.
Mr. Merchant has a comment.
All right. It's okay. Okay.
It's okay.
First, you should probably refresh your agreement with Stan before you go any further on the tank. That's an age-old agreement. It's not on the website. I don't know. I wasn't even here when we did it. You might want to see what it says. Secondly, there's the analysis that I did that shows your production levels versus the inventory levels of water and storage. Could you, at your leisure, verify for me the accuracy of what you think it is? And if that's so, and if that water is in fact missing, could we begin to identify why it's missing? If it's evaporation, then it's going to have to be reflected in the plan. There's 148 days and 650 acre-feet of water that are out of sync, and that water's probably not there. And if it went from evaporation or seepage, or if it went from a miscalculation in the reporting, then I'd like to know that. And I'd like to see it reflected in the supply portion, and I would really like to request that we get, not unlike the last time, that when before you issue that supply portion and have another meeting, that we get more than 5 days to look at the data. I mean, I would like to see us have that report 2 weeks before you call another public meeting, if that would be possible. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay. I'll let that go. Any further staff comments? No, hearing none. Marty?
None for me, thank you.
Nothing for you, nothing for me, which leaves us to adjournment. Thank you. Thank you, Amelia.
Thank you very much. Have a wonderful day.
Another great job.